We're going to look for a few moments at Luke chapter 2 and verses 29 to 32. Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you've prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. You know, picture this, an old man is holding a baby in his arms, and he is the happiest man on the face of planet Earth. The baby that he's holding is not his son or his grandson or his great-grandson. This man is holding his God, his maker, his creator in his arms. And he breaks into poetry, possibly into song, beautiful song, as he blesses God. Now, not many in the world got to hold their God in their arms, but many, many millions have got to share Simeon's joy, which is not about holding the Saviour. You notice what he says. His joy is about seeing him. Verse 30, for my eyes have seen your salvation. And that's something that you and I can see this Christmas day. We don't see him with our physical eyes, but we can see by faith that this child is God's son, sent to be our saviour. And we can trust him with all that we have, knowing that this one will never fail us. I want to think about this scene before us. It's a few days after the actual birth of Jesus Christ, but if you're thinking that's not a Christmas text, it's probably a lot closer to Christmas than when the wise men pitched up. So it is a Christmas text. And what goes on here really takes us back into the meaning of what had happened at Bethlehem. And we'll take the theme of the faithfulness of God as we look at this morning. God is a God who makes promises. And if God has made a promise, then it will be kept. No matter what happens, God will keep his promises. And the first thing we can think about here is his faithfulness to Simeon. Look at verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And when he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said. And God had made a promise to this man that he was not going to die before he had seen the Christ. I don't know how long he'd been waiting. I imagine it was quite a long time. One day I'll meet Simeon and he'll tell me how long it was and say, you got it wrong, it was actually only a few months. And I think it was a long time until he tells me differently. Probably years and years. And often in the Bible, God makes his people wait a long time. God is never in a hurry like we are. His timing is always perfect. It's just right. You never read in the Bible, and Jesus was rushed and stressed, and God was behind schedule. This doesn't happen. He is always on time, working everything out, and yet we're always so impatient. We want it now. We can't wait any longer. I dare say I was right when I was talking about you children prodding the presents. And did you just do a little rip, any of you? A week or so ago, I did. I used to and try and take the sellotape off the back, and unfortunately it would lift the pattern of the Christmas paper, and you'd be in real trouble then. But I couldn't wait. I wanted to see and have what was there. Well, this man had been waiting maybe for many decades for this great day that God had promised he was going to live to see. And here he is holding the greatest gift in all the world, in his arms, and he says, now I'm ready to die in peace. That's quite amazing, isn't it? He'd been waiting for something that would just fill his life and make it complete, and he finally gets it, and he says, that's it, I'm ready to go now. Again, I didn't think like that when I was little. I'd be on to my mum in the weeks leading up to Christmas, saying, I must have Subutio floodlighting edition. You must get this for me, or I must have a bike with gears. I dreamt about a bike with 5 gears. That was such advanced technology in the 1970s. And finally, I thought, I've got it. Now this has made everything complete. But it didn't, because the next year I wanted one with 10 gears, because everyone else had got one with 10 gears. And then I wanted one with 12, and then 21, and then 28, and I don't know how many I'm up to now. But bikes don't satisfy you, however much you think that they will, or whatever it is. And you make promises to your parents. You say, I'll never ask for anything ever again if you give me this. You've all said that, haven't you? I certainly did, many times. And yet whatever we got, we did ask for more. Not Simeon. He's holding this gift, and he says, I couldn't have any more than what God has given me. My life is complete. Everything that God could possibly have given is here in this child. The child in his arms makes life worth living. That child will go on to change death through what he does, and he'll change eternity. The child in Simeon's arms is God's salvation. And when you've seen him, your life is full, and the future is glorious. And you can say you're the most blessed person on earth. You can understand the Christmas message that there's nothing to worry about in life. This Jesus has got it covered. He really has. I mean, a Jesus who could take on death and defeat it is a Jesus that you can trust with absolutely everything. And secondly, we've got God's faithfulness to the world. God didn't merely make a promise to Simeon. He made one to the whole world. Look at verse 29. Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared before the face of all the people, a light for a revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. My eyes have seen the Saviour whom you prepared for all the peoples. God had made a promise to this world to give us a Saviour, even though we'd messed up everything. God is so good, he's so kind, he's so loving, that he wouldn't leave us where we'd gotten ourselves, away from him, in darkness and rebellion and sin and death. God had promised that he would do something about it. He would send us a champion, a saviour. And the world had waited longer than Simeon had. It had waited for thousands of years for the arrival of this person who would fix everything. God had kept reinforcing his promise through the Old Testament. In our community group WhatsApp, we've had Debbie giving us the most wonderful Advent calendar this year. There's no chocolates, it's all verses from the Bible. And each day we've been reminded of another of God's promises that he made and then he kept. And so many of them came from the Old Testament. So many of them were God saying, this is what I am going to do. The Old Testament is not a history of the world as it was. It's a history of God's plan of redemption. God saying, look, you've got yourself into such a mess. You've listened to Satan. Everything's ruined. But I'm going to send someone who is going to smash Satan and destroy him at great cost to himself. But he's going to take him on, and he'll win for his people. He says to Abraham, I'm going to give you a child, even though you haven't got any children, and you can't have children, but I'm going to give you a child, and then a family, and then somewhere down the line, way off in the future, there'll be another child born to your family who'll be a blessing to every single nation on earth. God says, I've promised, I'll keep my promise. He says he'll be born in a miraculous way. He'll be born to the virgin because he is the Son of God, come to be the Son of Man. He's the one who'll be born in Bethlehem to be the Shepherd King. He'll be the one who is given to be the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This is what God had been promising to the world. And this is what has just happened. God kept that promise. The one who was in the beginning with God, who is God, the creator and sustainer of countless galaxies, is born as a baby to be held in the arms of an old man who's cradling his God and Savior. No wonder he's so pleased. And so should the world be. God so loved us that he gave us the ultimate gift, his Son. The cost was so much more than Simeon could see at this point. But he hints at it. Christ was born not simply to be a human, to be one of us, to identify with us. He was born to die for our sins at Calvary. And turning to Mary, the old man says to his mother, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against, and yes, a sword is even going to pierce your soul, Mary. Later, Mary would have the pain of seeing her son, Jesus, rejected and crucified. Nails would be driven through those hands. Picture that little baby. Simeon would have probably put his finger, because you do that with a baby, don't you? And the little hand would have gone round his old finger. And those hands would one day be stretched out to receive nails driven through them. And the head that he cradled would have thorns placed upon it and be spat at and rejected by this world. He'd come to suffer and to die that he might save us. God, probably the Father's heart would be pierced as well, as he had to pierce his own Son in order to bring that salvation to us. The Son that he loved, he would give because he loved us and he wanted us to be his sons and his daughters and to be saved through Christ's sacrifice for our sins at Calvary. That child, we were looking at it a Sunday or so ago, whom Mary wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger, would be a man who was wrapped in a linen shroud and laid in a tomb. That was God's gift. Someone who would come and really save us. But because he's Christ the Lord, he'd rise again. Death couldn't hold him. Smashed it. Left it defeated behind him, the grave empty. And a tidal wave of good news flows through this world, saying there is hope, there is salvation, because of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. God kept his promise, even though it cost him his son. He kept his promise to Simeon. He kept his promise to the world. Lastly, he'll keep his promise to you. God is faithful to you. And he makes a promise to you. And this great salvation, this great Saviour, is freely offered to us all as individuals. That's what the shepherds heard, wasn't it? This good news is for you, shepherds, and for all people. That's what John can say, or Jesus can say in John 3:16, that because God so loved this world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shouldn't perish, but rather have everlasting life. Whoever's a big word, isn't it? It's a massive word. It means anyone who believes in Jesus won't have to face the punishment and abandonment and forsakenness of the day of judgment, because Jesus has taken that for us. And instead, he gives us everlasting life. Simeon, he could see this in Christ, and he said, I'm ready to depart in peace. And if you're believing in Jesus Christ, you can say that as well. I hope you won't depart today. I hope you have many, many, many more days, many, many more years of joyful living, because life is a gift from God to be enjoyed as we walk with God. May God bless you with years and years of joyful life. But if you know Jesus, every day is a life lived with peace with God and each other in the church. And then when our day does come, because it will, I've been reminded of that recently in this church, sitting with one of our sisters whose day came. We can say our day when we depart will be in peace, because we've not just seen God's salvation, we've believed in him, given our lives to him, and we know that he's given his life for us. And it's going to be a great day when he comes and he walks through that last valley of the shadow of death with us and takes us into the presence of God, where there is joy and peace forevermore. This was God's promise. God wanted us to have joy in life, but there can only be the fullest joy by knowing Jesus Christ, his salvation, his Son, whom he gave so that we could be his sons and daughters. Well, may God bless you with the richest, fullest Christmas ever. The greatest joy. Joy that won't disappear in the stresses of Boxing Day. Joy that won't be lost in the New Year's sales. Joy that won't be eclipsed when the credit card bill comes through for Christmas. Joy that will go on and get greater and greater, because you know Jesus and he knows you. And you can walk through another year in faith and fellowship with him. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are such a faithful God, a promise-making, promise-keeping God. We look at what you'd promised, life and salvation for those who had hated you and rejected you. And though it cost you everything, it cost you your Son, and it cost him his life, we thank you that you went through with that promise and kept it. And we praise you that the promise is still being heard today, that whoever, whether they're young or old, sick or healthy, rich or poor, whoever believes in him can come and find that everlasting life today. So help us with open hearts and believing minds to receive that gift, and the glory will all be Jesus Christ's. Amen.